Have you ever had a vision you just had to fulfill? Well, that's exactly what happened with Dr. Joanne Cornwell. That vision was Sister Locks. Following her vision led to the creation of a natural hair management system that thousands of women could wear with pride and dignity. Join us as we take you to some familiar places and those that might surprise you. The Sister Locks podcast is where the story of your journey is told. Sponsored in part by Niche Agency, Afrocentric Branding at yourniche.com.
Hey, Sister Locks family. We are here again today. I'm Cassandra, your co-host for the Sister Locks podcast. I am here with Dr. Joanne Cornwell, the creator of Sister Locks. How are you doing today,
Doc? Hey, everybody. Doing great, Cassandra. Thank you.
All right. I am super excited. Today, we're going to be talking about Sister Locks International. We are doing big things. Doc, what do you think about, you know, back in 1993, when you started Sister Locks with your sister, did you ever think that one day you would go international?
Well, actually, yes.
I love the confidence.
No, well, it was weird. It was, you know, from the very beginning, it wasn't like we were striving for something. It was more like we knew we needed to start the work of realizing this thing that was already destined to happen. It was always like a destiny for me especially, but also for, you know, my sisters and our significant others at the time. We had no doubt. We didn't know what we were doing.
You didn't know how it was going to happen.
But it just came like it was already planned, or more like a vision and an intention.
Okay.
It was really, it's the only time in my life that anything like that has ever happened. Oh, and wow. It's still happening.
Yes. I locked in Japan for a while, and it was surprising people that I actually had a clientele over there. And there's the consultants still over there right now. So, but that's amazing. And I'm pretty sure our listeners are anxious to hear about the international side of Sister Locks. In fact, we have our guest today, Marklyn Williams. She's a master trainer out of Kingston, Jamaica. And Marklyn has a lot of experience training internationally for Sister Locks. And she's going to be on the line with us a bit later. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Hi, Cheryl Morrow here, cosmetic trichologist, inviting you to join the conversation at Sister Locks, hair care for hair loss. I've partnered with Sister Locks to bring you solutions through the Lock Trichology Analyst Certification. Help clients with hair loss, tears, and fears with a texture-specific hair care system. If your clients are in need of hair care solutions for hair loss, consider becoming a trichology analyst. Visit SisterLocks.com.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining us. We're going to be talking about Sister Locks International. Now, Doc, was this a dream of yours early on?
Well, kind of yes and no. I guess I'd say not exactly. It was more like a vision. I just knew that Sister Locks was the answer for women with my kind of hair. You know, I went through that period where I was experimenting with my hair, and, you know, based on all kinds of trial and error, I looked in the mirror one day and saw what I saw, and it was just a done deal. So it was not like a business decision or anything like that. It was like a vision or an intuition or a calling that just set in.
Wow.
And that's the way I experienced it.
Now, currently, how many overseas training locations does Sister Locks have now?
Well, let's see. We train in London, Jamaica, Toronto, Paris. Those are the ones that we train in on a regular basis. But we've also trained in Barbados, St. Thomas. St. Thomas is a U.S. Territory, but it's overseas, you know, physically. So we kind of count that as our international. You know, we've also trained in Bahamas. So we've been around and, you know, continue to look for places where we can have a productive relationship with the people on site there.
All right. So when you go to Paris, are you training in French?
Yes. In fact, that's why I do the training, because I do speak French. There are also a few other people in our organization that speak French and will eventually be able to help out more and more.
Okay. So how do you say locks in French and Sister Locks?
Well, you say la lox because there's not really a word in French, you know, independent of that. And sister lox, you just kind of scrunch your mouth around a little bit.
Now, what about curl pattern and locking pattern?
Well, curl pattern is modèle de boucle, and locking pattern is motif de lox.
Motif de lox, that sounds fancy. What is your motif de lox?
My motif de lox, c'est le quatre. I have a yeah, that's what mine is.
Okay.
it's really spectacular when you're in a room full of sisters, mm-hmm. and they're all speaking French. It just blows your mind because it's the same energy, mm-hmm. you know. And I really you know, I wish I could just zap everybody and they understood across language barriers, mm-hmm. because it's such a rich experience that I wish more of our women could have.
Okay, so one last thing I want you to translate. How do you say sister lox is more than a hairstyle, it's a lifestyle?
Okay. Sister lox est plus qu'un style, c'est un mode de vie.
Oh, wow.
Pretty cool, huh?
That is pretty cool.
No, I actually love being able to communicate in more than one language because African-descended people around the world don't all speak English.
Yeah.
And we tend to kind of stay in enclaves because that's what we understand.
Yeah.
So when you can kind of branch out and even, you know, a little bit, acquire a little bit of these other languages, the world just opens up in an incredible way. I wish that we could get to our Spanish-speaking sisters. Eventually we will, because there's millions of us who speak Spanish.
Well, I've been working on my Spanish for a long time.
You could be our rep.
And now I live in Chula Vista, so I'm like 6 miles from the border.
Okay.
So you never know.
You never know.
Now, is there a lot of sisters overseas wanting to get sister lox or become trained and becoming a consultant?
Absolutely. And it really is just like here, the demand is growing and growing. There's a natural movement that really is international. And I would say the States here, we're at the forefront. We have more resources and, you know, but on the other hand, we have more obstacles because of the legal, you know, definition of cosmetology and natural mm-hmm. hair. But, that doesn't stop women from around the world of, you know, taking notice and kind of constructing their own ways of responding. You know, sometimes overseas, the barriers are cultural, too. Mm-hmm. So when you think, you know, how hard it was to convince your, you know, your mate, your mother, your auntie that you were going to go natural or even get extensions, you know, that can be a real challenge for people because our culture, it took us a while. It's taking us a while to fully accept that. It's the same overseas, too, where different segments of the society aren't accepting. So people worry about their jobs, you know, mm-hmm. they worry about, you know, their churches and their community organizations and how people are going to react to them and whether their kids are going to get talked about in school. And it really is very, very similar. But, you know, we're working through this all over the globe. There's like a cultural evolution going on that's focusing on like self-knowledge and self-acceptance and all of that. We have consultants. We have dozens of Sister Lox consultants in the UK, for example, not just in the London area, but throughout the United Kingdom. Dozens and dozens in Jamaica. Marklin will be able to tell us more about that when she comes on the line. In fact, our listeners can check the Sister Lox website. And we have registries of consultants and trainees, and there's an international section on each of those registries, and they can just check it out to see who's out there. Thousands and thousands of sisters wearing sister lox and doing that, practicing that. And it's very, very gratifying.
Yeah. So what do you think attracts African-descended women around the world to sister lox? Are they going natural, or are they just looking for sister lox specifically?
Well, you know, in order to answer that question, I want to tell you something about what I started doing a long time ago. During our 4-day training classes, the mm-hmm. first day, you know, when you're trying to get familiar with the people who are in the class, who they are, why they're there, where they come from, and all of that, I would ask trainees to tell me the words that they had ever heard throughout their like lives, especially when they were younger, to describe their natural hair. And in the United States, we get things like kinky, BBs. I even heard somebody say that, you know, she used to hear Brillo pad, you know, nappy, coarse, hard, bad, right? Generally, there's 4 or 5 terms that people have heard to describe their hair, and 99 times out of 100, they were not positive. Mm-hmm. So what I would do is when we would train overseas or we would have overseas individuals in our classes, I would ask that same question. And Cassandra, I have to tell you, everywhere without exception is exactly the same. The words are, you know, the exact words or the exact translation may be a little different, but the meaning is the same. It's, you know, disparaging. It's making women feel like they're less than somebody else, that they have to correct, cover up what they were naturally endowed with in order to be acceptable or beautiful or whatever. And I see our women saying, you know what, I'm through with this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're going to look at this thing differently. And that is what is bringing these populations of women around to looking at ourselves differently, drawing inspiration from other sisters around the globe. And just, you know, we say we're thankful and grateful. And those who have a spiritual orientation, you know, appreciate the kind of divine hand in things. Mm-hmm. Except these naps. We get kind of weird when we think about and plan our lives around our natural hair. We don't thank God for that.
Very true.
You know, we're not grateful to the universe for creating us this way. And I think that more and more people, not just women, but culturally, I think we're kind of looking at that going, what's wrong with this picture? What am I not seeing? What am I not respecting and celebrating? Mm. And so I see that happening all over, and that's bringing women, especially, I don't mean to exclude men, but it's primarily women, to finding solutions. Asking questions, demanding that professionals, you know, kind of respond to what they need. So,
wow, that's amazing. I mean, just to when you think about it, you know, we have an universal language surrounding our hair, mm-hmm. that unites us, you know, Black women and men all around the world, no matter where you're from.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's absolutely right. It's kind of like, you know, we may not speak the same language, but we share a cultural language, right, that kind of is at the base of who we believe we are and how we act on who we are. And we have very similar challenges,
yes,
around the world. And while it's challenging, it's also amazing, you know, when you get the sense, develop or celebrate the sense that you're part of a very large family. Culturally. And whatever it is that you're facing, somebody else somewhere is facing it too. You know, so if you don't know about it, find out about it. Mm-hmm. You know, if you can't get on a ship and take a cruise or get on a plane and go somewhere, you know, Google it. Get online and learn about, you know, whatever it is that's going to help you feel that connectedness, because mm-hmm. there's really nothing like it. There's nothing like it. Sometimes I think our culture is shying away from the kind of cultural identity that's, you know, Afrocentric and international. You know, I see the things that our young people are challenged with and how limited our perspective can get. And for me, and in my experience with all kinds of folks, you never not benefit from expanding your horizons. Mm-hmm. So I encourage all of our Sister Locks folks to do that on an international level.
Okay, so we are going to invite Markalyn Williams to the conversation. She is incredible.
And absolutely. This sister, I tell you, she's one in a million.
We have our Sister Locks master trainer, Markalyn Williams, on the line. Hi, Markalyn. Greetings.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Markalyn. We're doing great. How's it there in Jamaica?
A little bit sunny, but we're good.
You're good. All right.
So, Markalyn, do you do a lot of international trainings for Sister Locks?
Yes, I do. From the start, we started out of the USA in Jamaica, and then I've been assigned to many other areas out of the USA.
Have we ever sent, I know we've sent you to Barbados. Have we ever sent you to Toronto?
No, I've never been to Toronto.
But I know we send you to London every year.
Yes, London, the Caribbean islands, and parts of the USA.
Okay.
Now, have you noticed a difference in the different types of women between the United States and internationally?
Yes, for sure. Especially in London, you get a melting pot of cultures. As a lot of people come from the European side to that class.
That's right.
So there are like language concerns and then traditional behavior, which is different from the USA, which is again different from the Caribbean.
Now, just to clarify, you're saying in London you get quite a melting pot. That's because there's immigrants from all kinds of African and African-descended places in London, right?
Yes,
those
former
colonies in Africa and the Caribbean.
Yes.
And what was the second place you were saying that was more traditional? I'm sorry.
I was saying in the Caribbean, mm-hmm. it's also different from in the USA because the culture, again, is different.
Would you say that affects on how receptive people are to Sister Locks, or how do those differences come up?
Well, it comes up mostly in language and tradition and people's learning styles, you know.
Yeah.
There are preferences that you get in the classroom that sometimes you have to find a happy neutral medium to make sure that everybody can receive the information equally.
Can you give us an example of a situation like that that you've had to work through?
There are times when people prefer not to read. They prefer to talk through things, or they prefer to spend the whole day in the classroom practicing because of their way of learning. So when I suggest to them that we have to follow a format, you know, a bit of reading, a bit of video, you know, some people want to get into the practice almost immediately without learning the material that they're going to practice. And, you know, that's how they say they do it in their region, their area. But I have to remind them, we have to go back to the method, which is how it is done in the USA. And so you get a bit of a tug of war when they try to get some adjustments going.
Yeah. Well, I've seen you in action, so I know that you make it, you know, you make it clear to everyone what the ultimate goal is, and, you know, you manage to, you manage to pull people along. Do you do like I do in class? Do you ask that question about the terms that people have heard in reference to our natural hair?
Yes, I do that.
What are some of the responses that you've gotten from the Caribbean women, for example?
It's interesting. The Caribbean people tend to use more, I would say, rough words that the Americans or Europeans or the British people don't even understand. Can't remember some of them off the top of my head now, but, you know, kaya, which is related to like a coconut brush from our coconut tree.
Kaya, kaya like K.
Kaya.
With a K?
Yes, K. Yes, K-A-Y-A. That's it. Like you hear it like kaya, and people are like, what's kaya? Then I have to, you know, like a kaya brush that we use in Jamaica, which is from the coconut nut itself. So that's one of the ones that stand out to me that's so different. And then when you talk about like the kitchen sink, when you're in the USA and they say the kitchen sink, they're like, what's that? How is that related to the kitchen, you know? So you do get those contrasting words, you know, that are not same in different regions.
And do you find, like I found, that the connotations are generally negative, or do you find that there's more positive references to natural hair in the Caribbean?
Well, it tends to be more negative, but I try to ask them for a balance because I'm really asking them for their personal experience. How have you heard people in your family or community describe the hair so that I can try and get a balance to bring in the positiveness, especially, which is what we're trying to shine on in Sister Lock.
Now, what about you personally? Did you grow up with a positive sense of your hair type?
For sure. My mother was always somebody that taught us to embrace who we are and how we were created and not to necessarily look at the TV or the magazines or your neighbor, and want to be like them. So I had that positive, I am who I am. And so, you know, if I have this type of hair or if I choose to do sister locks, you know, it is something that we should embrace mm-hmm. with what we have and try not to adopt things that are not naturally yours.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I'm sure why you've developed into such a positive and effective trainer, because you have that perspective. Would you say that there is, how can I put this? Do you think, well, we know that everybody isn't as lucky as you were coming up, and that there are these issues having to do with good hair and bad hair. How does that come across in Caribbean culture? Do they say, well, you've got good hair, you've got bad hair?
Yes, and the big artificial or human hair market, because everybody wants to look like what's on the talk shows, mm-hmm. the TV shows, the magazines. And they really don't want to embrace what is naturally theirs. And I see it also in class. When we are introducing ourselves alone on the first day, I try not to look at people's heads, mm-hmm. look over their heads. And, you know, by day two or three, with my comments, I try to encourage people to embrace the difference, mm-hmm. embrace what's theirs. And then usually by day three and four, people are taking off their wigs, taking off their weeds, their hair with sister locks. Shampoo, they want to get their shampoo before class is even done from the business pack. So I like to see that transition. It's always amazing.
Yeah. That's wonderful. That's kind of getting them started on a journey, because it takes courage to do that.
mm-hmm.
You know, most sisters realize that it's not just, you know, okay, I think I'll go natural today. It's a deep and profound shift. You know, I've spent a bit of time in Jamaica, and one thing I noticed in the early days of me going there was that there is natural hair there, much more than I used to see in the States. When I asked how that, but I never saw locks except for the Rasta community.
Right.
That has changed, I know, over the years, because I know there are thousands and thousands of people now with sister locks. But do you recall that whole period when you had natural hair, but not you personally, but you would see natural hair there, but never locks? What was that about?
I think because locks was definitely related to being, you know, dishonest thieves, bad men, homeless people. And then on top of that, music and Rastafari. Professional women who really probably wanted locks couldn't take the chance because of their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, even though you yearned for it, you couldn't go to it. So you would do things like doing small plaits that would be more acceptable,
mm-hmm.
that would look like you could have that same kind of locks freedom. You know, so I think that's when sister locks, people started to open their eyes, because they realized they could get locks that didn't look like dreadlocks.
Yeah.
You know,
I can they remember.
Open like a floodgate.
Yeah. I can remember having someone ask me, well, couldn't you call them something other than locks? Because connotation in Jamaica, a connotation surrounding locks, was so negative. That really kind of freaked me out, because I thought if anywhere they were going to be accepted, it would be Jamaica, but that wasn't the case at all.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Now, what about your London experiences? Were the sisters in London more or less challenged when it came to making that transition to natural hair and to sister locks? Or did you see more of a movement? Or was there... What kind of comparisons can you make for us?
Well, what I notice is when I do teach the classes everywhere, not just London, I ask the question when we're introducing yourself, do you have sister locks?
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people assume they have some type of locking. And so when you give them a kind of brief idea of what locks represent, you know, they begin to realize they either don't have it, they want it, they don't want it. And then you start to see them kind of calculating their mind where their interest should go.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it is not locked yet, it is more, let me release my hair, my natural hair.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the kind of thing I see coming out of, you know, again, acceptance is a big thing, whether it's spouse, parents, grandparents. They're not, they're afraid to make the decision on their own.
Yeah.
Either embrace it or even to deny themselves the opportunity to get it.
Now, Marklin, I'm betting a lot of our listeners are not aware of the how widespread sister locks is overseas. And in fact, I bet some of our listeners are overseas right now and they have questions for us. So what would you say to our overseas listeners who may just be finding out about sister locks?
The overseas listeners that want to find out about sister locks really need to get all their facts from www.sisterlocks.com, because there are a lot of persons giving misinformation about sister locks.
Yeah.
What is good, though, when we look around us, I see persons in professional areas of employment, especially that have greater influences. So you have politicians, pastors, teachers, lawyers wearing the lock. And so when they get a chance to look on those persons and see that it's okay, it's acceptable on the job, it's very stylable in their personal life, in their sporting life, I think they will pay more attention to the fact that sister locks is so different from interlocking or palm rolling. And not that we're creating any tug of wars between the locking choices, but it helps that person that's, you know, afraid to take that big lock or that lock that, you know, is forced to be locked with other things other than their natural hair.
Mm-hmm.
I think the presence of sister locks really will open person's eyes if they get the truth about the difference in what it represents.
That's a challenge sometimes.
Yeah. So how do you see sister locks developing overseas, you know, like in the next 5 years?
Oh, I think there's such a great untapped market. I mean, the African women that I've trained that have migrated back from Africa to the USA, from the USA back to Africa, some of them keep in touch with me. They're eager to see us have classes down there because, you know, their hands are tired of doing the braiding and they realize that sister locks is more gentle in terms of you doing the technique on the practitioner's hands.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many other places like in Europe where a lot of people of color are moving to and still want to embrace. So I think it's for us sister locks to find a way to get ourselves maybe in magazines or on the radio or on the television so that people can see this more refined option.
Yeah.
You know, but I know there's a thirst and a hunger for what it is, because in those regions, they still don't know the truth about it. They see it, admire it, observe it, but what is this thing really?
So on a more mass scale, huh?
Yes, yeah. I'm thinking more on a mass scale. You know, if we could find a couple magazines or something, you know, that we can reach people. You know, by the way, kind of, because people are still bucking their feet into this thing. They don't know that it exists.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people that don't know.
I know you're right. It's kind of hard to believe for those of us who are in it and have been in it for 25 years, but you're right.
Right.
There are a lot more people to reach. All right. We got our work cut out for us.
Yes. It's funny because when I was in Japan, I would get calls from people all over from, you know, Australia, people, you know, calling me, asking me questions. I had a woman take her vacation in Okinawa so I could retighten her hair on her honeymoon.
Oh,
so,
yes.
You know, so it was really awesome because her and her new husband, he sat there in the chair and waited 5 hours.
Oh.
It's been a while for her to get her hair retightened. So there's definitely a need, definitely
right.
a demand. Marklin, we just want to thank you for being on this call today. We had a great conversation.
Absolutely.
You know,
it was wonderful.
It's just amazing and refreshing to, you know, just to hear from different people in our community. Like I said it before, I mean, I have such respect for the Sister Locks Master Trainers. You guys are amazing. You know, you guys, you know, you train us, you love on us, you encourage us with our businesses. And, you know, Sister Locks is here today because of Dr. Cornwell, but you guys helped spread the gospel.
Oh, absolutely.
So I am thankful to you for that.
Yes, and I would just like to say that I would like to honor her and thank her for giving me the opportunity to have my own self-employment and to be in the classroom to spread what she so passionately created and originated for us.
Thank you, thank you, Marklyn. You're embarrassing me here.
Thank you, Marklyn.
Thank you. Okay, all the best. Take care.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Oh, I would like to thank our co-host, Dr. C, and our special guest, Master Trainer Marklyn Williams, for joining us today. I really enjoyed our topic. Please go to Sister Locks on Facebook, our Facebook page, and let us know what you think about Sister Locks International. You know, are you overseas rocking Sister Locks? Do you have a desire to get them? We would love to get your thoughts about that. Remember to keep in touch with us at sisterlocks.com, and we are on Facebook and Instagram. Have a great day. Bye.
Bye.